Reading for bedtime, Eric?
Oh, you know, it's a little.
Yeah, I bet.
By the fireplace.
Get our meeting started. We'll stand and do the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I'll have the clerk call the roll, please.
Edmonds?
Here.
Buchanan?
Here.
Wise?
Here.
Ballinger?
Here.
Srilli?
Here.
Need a motion to approve our minutes of our last meeting, July 19th.
I'll make.
10/26. Motion's been made and second. Any discussion on the minutes? Call the roll, please.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Srilli?
Yes. Will I have the clerk read the bills and payroll?
General Administration, $30,378.62. Police, $18,693.69. Fire, $5,422.75. Street, $13,944.83. Parks, $2,308.17. Public Health and Safety, $80.33. Garbage, $55.45. Cemetery, $2,627.56. Water Operations, $47,378.78. Sewer Operations, $3,940.21. EPA Westside Water Loan Payment, $52,682.22. EPA Sewer Project Loan Payment, $74,898.36. Water Deposits, $900. Clinton Sanitary District, $56,134.33. Special Tax Allocation TIF 1, $6,352.75. Motor Fuel Tax Fund, $1,229.03. Warner Hospital and Health Services Operating Account, $442,613.82.
Thank you. I have a motion to approve the bill and payrolls.
I move to approve the bills and payroll.
A second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the bills and payroll? If not, call the roll, please.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Srilli?
Yes. Move down to petitions and communications. We have a Melissa Morse. You want to come up, state your name for us, please?
My name is Melissa Morris. Just start. All right. Good evening. My name is Melissa Morris. Most of you know me as Kyle's wife. I am coming in front of you tonight with a concern over the concrete sidewalk on the corner of North Center and East Washington Street. In November 2022, we bought 122 North Center, as all of you know, and have put a ton of hard work and money into making this building beautiful to accommodate a new barbershop and a soon-to-be ice cream bakery. We have used our hard-earned money to do all of the work to this building. We applied for the facade grant from the city and received half for the windows and doors, which we are thankful for. I have a board here of pictures I have taken of the condition of the sidewalk and feel it is not safe for anybody to walk or bike on. As you can see, there are multiple hazards and non-ADA approved issues. There is an unsafe staircase with no protection, a hump in the concrete, which is tripping hazard, random poles sticking up, gutters covered in metal that don't stay on and are a falling hazard. Cracks, busted curbs, and a slope that isn't safe to walk on or even get a wheelchair up. To be honest, the whole north side of the building, the whole north side behind all of the buildings down to the corner of North Monroe needs done, but we will save that for another rainy day. A few years ago, the staircase at our building had a lawsuit from a city employee that had fallen down them. A few months back, Diane, who works at the Monument Place here in town, tripped over the hump that you can see in the picture up on the left-hand side. Before it was painted orange and was rolling down the sidewalk and couldn't get up. We have witnesses to this as employees from Serenos had to go out and help her on a busy Friday night. I have recently talked to her and she is pretty banged up and hurt her knees from this episode. We have witnessed multiple people, including our family and children, trip over this hump. When Kyle contacted Kenny Buchanan, his solution was to have the street department paint this bright orange. I don't feel like this is an action. His action is an adequate solution to this problem, especially at night. Roger Cyrulik has come by to talk to us and is trying to get this project done because it's not safe, and to be honest, it looks horrible in our historic downtown. This is a busy corner, and it's one of the first places you see when you pull into our downtown area. It is very busy with Apple and Pork, Maydays, businesses, and all the downtown businesses and all the walkers and bikers. I have talked to Michelle Witzke at the Vault as well, and she is concerned with behind her building that she has also poured her heart and soul into making nice for our youth. This project does not need to be engineered, as it will take a year or more to be completed. If you were to do the whole north side, that would need engineered, but to just do what needs to be done for the safety of customers, that doesn't need engineered. We have already spent $1,000 and had the door at the bottom of the staircase center blocked in properly by Alex Rogers. I am here tonight to ask that you do something about this unsafe sidewalk and staircase for our town and our businesses. I'm afraid to open this business in the next couple months because of how unsafe the staircase, hump, and sidewalk are. I feel that as city officials, you can do better for our town in making it a pleasant and beautiful downtown that attracts people. There are multiple things I see as I walk in early in the mornings that I could go on for days about, but once again, we'll save it for another day. When you go to other small towns, you see how nice their town looks, but especially their downtown area. This is what draws people to town, and that's what we need. It doesn't matter if my husband, Kyle Morris, is a city employee and how that would look to redo the sidewalk at our building. Everyone should be treated the same, and we are city residents who pay a lot of taxes between owning two buildings and a house. We have worked so hard on this historic building and trying to bring a new ice cream shop to town to draw people to come and visit. I want to put outdoor tables and chairs on this side for people to sit out and enjoy their treats with their families. Many people will be parking in those two city parking lots and walking along the sidewalk to get to our place, and it's not safe for them. This is so needed in our town, and we would love for it not to be a safety issue every time somebody walks up to treat themselves. Now that I have come and brought this to your attention on how safe this sidewalk is, if somebody else falls and gets hurt, I don't want to be responsible. Thank you for listening to me tonight, and I hope you investigate this and make our sidewalk safe for the citizens in Clinton in a short, timely manner. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah, please sit down. We'll address your issue.
Mm-hmm.
We met with the engineers last Friday. As far as the little trip place on the front, that was a project that was made on North Center Street.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't come to our attention until the lady had the mishap. After that, we've been discussing on the sidewalk all the way down on the south side of Washington Street. And to complete everything, to make grade differences, we've got to investigate with an engineer. We may even have to cut your wall down that goes down the basement to get our elevations. So we can't work on yours until we know what our final elevations are. You can open your store anytime you want. We've marked that trip step and everything. It's out of the way of your obstruction to get in your door. But time, it moves pretty slow when we're working with engineers and trying to get something done. I do concrete. You don't want to do it twice.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we want to do it right the first time. That's where we're at with one object in front of your building now. We got to do it twice. So you just got to bear with us. We're trying to do away with the water situation. There's about 6 downspouts that come off of that buildings down through there that we want to get underground, cure that. You've got one or two coming off of your building itself, maybe one in the back. but there's several coming down. There's also other issues with stores along that line. That's why we would like to fix the whole area, starting at your corner and going down. So just bear with us. It's going to take some time.
So what do you want me to put along the staircase and in front of that orange? Do you want me to keep the barricade there? Because I feel like my business would attract children, which that's like staircase isn't safe for them at all.
Pardon?
The staircase going down is not safe for children at all. So like my business would attract many children, and I don't feel like that staircase is safe.
That's your staircase.
Mm-hmm.
Is that to where it could be filled in?
It needs to be filled in, yeah.
When this trip hazard happened, when this lady fell, I have talked to Kyle about this problem, and we painted it, and he told me at the time that he was going to fill that in and concrete it, and I told him at that time, when they do that, that we would come in and pay for the remedy, have the concrete person whoever's doing that take care of that hazard. So.
But we have already paid the $1,000 to have locked in, so there is no door downstairs. But I don't feel like that's our responsibility to fill that in and concrete that.
I understood when I come in office, I understood that all the businesses up there are responsible for those sidewalks, not the city.
TIF money, and it's
the
a whole story.
Clint, can you speak on that, please?
Well, to save the conversation with the engineer, we're trying to work that into the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I mentioned earlier, we may have to cut that wall down to get grade.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's part of the project. So there's no use of having a big discussion on it.
The tripping hazard goes in front of that staircase.
Correct, and that will be that will change also because that wall's going to have to come down a little ways, and that'll change the grade going.
So there's no reason for us to fill that in and concrete that.
If you want to do it twice.
Yeah. So there's no reason.
But you're going to have an open stairwell.
No.
Does it still have the handrail around it?
Mm-hmm, but it's.
No, she wants to. They want to fill it up and make it part of a sidewalk.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, right now, the handrail's still protecting it.
If that's what you want to call that. I mean.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I have a barricade and, like, the caution tape in front of it.
Yeah.
But going back to the TIF money, from what Clint has told me, because I checked on when I talked to Kyle. The TIF money cannot be used for concrete sidewalks. Is that correct, Clint?
Not that it can't be. It's not ordinary to use it that way. TIF is designed to increase property values. That's why we have a facade grant program like that. Because anything you do to improve the outside of the building helps increase property tax value.
When we get the engineer, I'll get with you and discuss it, but we want to do it one time.
Yeah, so do we.
And we're going to fix it, but it's going to have to be done right because there's several, not only the trip in place on you, there's also other issues on that corner that
obviously.
we need to go.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Seth here this evening?
Yes. Seth Reddington, I reside here in Clinton. I was up here last meeting. You guys talked about an animal ordinance. Most of the time, whether it's brush, golf carts, you guys discuss ordinances. Seemed to me that it just kind of got pumped through. Put it on file. You guys will talk about it tonight and vote it in. My 50 years of being on this earth, I've pretty much lived South Clinton. Every time I've had animals, I've come up here and talked to them. It's always been said, you really don't even live in town. Well, apparently I do. Over the years, now this directs me or affects me directly. I've had upwards of 300 rabbits. In the spring, I'd order 125 chickens, keep them 5 weeks, butcher them, split them up with my family. I don't go to the restaurant every night. In fact, all winter, I cook on a wood stove in my house. I don't even have furnace to heat my house. That's my choice. By passing this ordinance, it directly affects me. You've told me that I live in an industrial area. If I don't like what goes on next door to me, move. Tell you what, I ain't moving. Stay right there. Between me and my family, we own about 12 pieces of ground down there. That's the reason why I stay where I'm at. Your decision tonight might affect me. Now, I've been doing a little research, a little work. Everybody says, you just keep asking the same questions when you come up here. Well, I haven't got answers. Direct answers. I know the answers to the question, but I ain't got them. That's fine. There's a lot of things. It was stated, Commissioner Ballinger stated in a meeting, that as soon as a meeting happened a few times ago, that somebody called the EPA. That guy that called him was me. And I stated to the EPA, I live in a residential area next to an industrial area. They put a fire training facility next door to me. They burn mattresses, furniture, things of that nature. The smoke that comes out of that facility is as black as they was burning tires in there. I use that as an example. I didn't state they was burning tires. But when you burn wood, we all know it's white or gray smoke. Throw a piece of plastic in there, throw a piece of carpet, piece of rubber, what happens? Turns black pretty quick. Everybody says they want pictures, you know. Documents and pictures is what we deal in. Right here, and I'll let you guys pass them around. It shows this fire training facility. They're burning pallets in it. You can access all these pictures through the fire department. They post them. Gray smoke, pretty clear coming out of there. Second picture shows the fire getting bigger. The third, it's engulfed. Black smoke rolling out. Then they put it out. Well, back there behind the brush facility for about 2.5-3 years, and I've got the pictures at home. I'll provide them if you'd like them. There was a mattress spring set out there, the couch and the recliner. Sit there in a pile forever. I haven't talked to Tim Falwell about it. Hey, when are you guys going to clean that up? Which it didn't matter to me. I was just curious. But it was said that this was a past commissioner. This all took place in 2017. Commissioner Ballinger, was you the commissioner then? Because you stated that none of this was burnt. It's awful hot and awful black. So my question is, with that being next door to me, everybody says this isn't going to happen, but it continues to. Now I challenge each and every one of you commissioners tonight. Take a little drive. Drive down by that fire training facility. 2 months ago, I helped a neighbor where a tree had fell down. The tree had fell roughly 3 years ago on city property, and they mowed around it. And he says, it's next to my mother's house. Will you help me come cut it? I volunteered my time and materials, and we went and hauled it to the brush facility. And that mattress has been laying at that fire training facility for 2 months. I don't see those people jumping off of that to land on the mattress. So why would a mattress be there? There's a lot going on, and you can't get a truthful answer. But I'll leave these pictures, and you guys pass them around. One other thing. We take an evening drive, drive around the neighborhood, maybe take a walk with the dogs. Just something you do when you get older. I think it's great that people get trained, whether it's at work, police department, fire department, you name it. If you can go home safe to your family, that's the key. Nobody wants to be laid up. Nobody wants to get hurt. Training's the key. They had a training operation down there. Cut the doors off a car, glass everywhere, on the ground. So I waited over 40 hours, and it sat there. Now, that's right next to basically the only ball fields where the young kids go play ball. You know how many makeup games are during the week? How many kids go in and look and curiosity? It's out in the open. You know, there's a car butchered up sitting back by the building, but it's kind of tucked away. But that's still city property, public access. Didn't take very long when you posted on social media. The bottom line is some little kid pulls one of those doors off the top of the car, gets hurt, gets cut. Who's responsible? The city of Clinton. No answers. No comments. No matter where you work, what facility, you always police your area. Cover your holes, everything. Don't leave something on top that could fall off. You guys are leaders of our community, a very good department. It's nothing against the individuals. The other thing is, it was talked about several years ago about putting a fence around that facility. Commissioner Wise, you volunteered to put a fence around that. A couple meetings ago, I addressed it with you. You said at all times that place is 100% secure. I'm not being a smart aleck. We're just calling a spade a spade. That's about all I got, and I'll leave these pictures with you. There's a lot more online. You can blow them up and look.
Thank you, Sid. Sharon, you want to speak? I guess it's okay to call you Sharon.
Yes, it is. I'm Sharon Reddington. I live in Clinton. I live in Ricksville. And I'm here to just reinforce and confirm about how I feel about our pasture and our properties, about wanting to change issues about animals. Because we have rabbits and chickens, and there's been sheep down there and goats and for before I was ever born. But we've never had a complaint from a neighbor. We've never had a problem with noise or smell or anything else. And that's all we want to continue to do. But since we live next door to where they grind the yard waste and we have to put up with that noise and the smell, we're not about to put any kind of animals in our pastures that's going to create a smell. And so things are not going to change how we've always operated. It's just going to stay the same. And that's all I've got to say about that. But it's just that it's just kind of foolish to make a big hullabaloo about nothing, you know. I grew up with my dad raising rabbits, and they don't create a problem or a smell. So, but that's all I've got to say.
Thank you.
But thank you, Roger.
Take a few minutes and see if there's anybody on the TV that wants to speak to the council. Do we have anybody out there, Steve?
I think it's just Steve
Love
and I.
Okay. Well, we'll move on down. I have nothing to report. We'll go down to streets and public improvement.
Yes, I understand that the bombs project has gotten started. We've got a little issue, though. Steve and I was contacted about the plans for the sewer, the storm sewer. And usually the departments that are involved with that are let known and see the plans and go look at things. But for some reason on this project, we weren't. We are concerned about the storm sewer being tied in to where it's at, about the system handling all this runoff, because there's going to be a lot more runoff because of the parking lot and stuff that's going to be there. So we are going to have an engineer come in and check this out. We want to be sure there's not going to be any problems down the line with all this extra runoff. But I don't understand why we weren't contacted to check this over. I don't know. Signed off on the permits, which is usually my department, Steve and I, but I don't know who signed off on them. So but I think that's just something we need to address too, that, you know, each department was supposed to be have some dealings with what the projects are and stuff, know what's going on. So that's all I have to say.
Okay. Public property.
I do not have a whole lot this evening. Things running like normal. We're still waiting on one part for the silo, the lime silo that we've been using to get everything hooked up in it. And there's one electronic piece, and I guess it's like everybody else, they're having trouble getting things made and sent, but as soon as it's here, all that will be put in and everything will proceed from there. So that's all I have.
Okay. Health and safety.
I just have one issue on the question Mr. Reddington had. The car was used on a Wednesday night for Wednesday night auto extrication. With all these new cars coming out, we have to stay on top of it. It was intended to use again Saturday morning for the rest of the crew that works nights. That's why the car was left there. And then it was, when it was on Facebook, it was immediately pulled away. So that's what that was about. Ben, do you have anything?
Just two things. I wanted to make a few comments about the animal ordinance, but would you like me to do that when you go into discussion?
No, now would be the best time.
Now would be?
Yeah, okay. No, it'd be okay.
If you don't mind, I'll step forward.
Sit down. So the animal ordinance has been proposed. I've been working on, or I worked on that with Mr. Hoblett a couple weeks ago. I want everyone can know that I am the sole supporter of that and initiated that, and here's why. For several years, this is kind of a reoccurring question that we've had in the city of Clinton, specifically about chickens is generally the common question. And with code enforcement, the ordinance enforcement officer being under our department, it's something that comes up multiple times throughout the year. I'm confident that if you polled the members of the community, those that have any knowledge of it whatsoever, you're going to hear a general understanding that you can have a limited number of chickens, somewhere between 3 and 6, and only roosters, no crowing hens, things of that nature. That's what you're commonly going to hear.
Only hens and no roosters.
That's correct. I mean, yeah. That is common knowledge throughout
you
the
said
city.
Rooster.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The general consensus that you're going to hear is that there is a limited number that you can have, and that you can only have hens for laying purposes, no roosters, things of that nature. I think that's fairly common knowledge throughout the city. However, that was actually never written anywhere specifically. Now, we have had multiple complaints, to be exact, just in this calendar year in various neighborhoods in town involving upwards of 20 and 30 chickens on a single property. So when we go into enforcement of such, that becomes a little problematic for us. We can dig deep and get creative in different zoning ordinances that are out there that may limit or prohibit and don't authorize the possession or raising of livestock or chickens. But quite frankly, for our benefit, I was looking for something just clear, black and white, simple, that would explain to our citizens and regulate the number of animals that we could have and the type of animals that we could have. Quite frankly, what we have drafted is not really any different than what the general understanding is by most of the community at large anyways. I believe that this was not to throw him under the bus by any means, but you know, as this question came up, I oftentimes contacted City Administrator Folliwell to ask for direction. Now, what was it that we could have? What couldn't we have? And he would give me that number. It was since his retirement that I contacted him, and he informed me, well, that wasn't specifically written anywhere, you know, and that is something that you may want to look at doing. And so I did. and with Mr. Hoblett, we worked together. I didn't have to go any further than the four communities that surround us, being Farmer City, Moroa, Lincoln, and Hayworth, all of which have ordinances that specifically address chickens, rabbits, livestock, dogs, cats. Our ordinance, as was previously written, really just, in terms of animal ordinance, really just addressed domesticated pets, dogs, and cats. Am I correct, Mr. Hoblett?
Yes, that is accurate.
Okay. So, again, the four communities around us all regulate poultry, rabbits, livestock, things of that nature. I had actually initiated this conversation with Mr. Myers back in March. And so it has been something in the process that we really just kind of ramped up within the last month. Mr. Hoblett and I sat down together, kind of used Farmer City as a template, a little bit of language from Lincoln, kind of customized it to our liking. And I think this was important to us to have, I guess, more of a clear, concise regulation on what was already the general understanding, but we can reference to citizens. We get the question quite frequently. You know, I'd like to get some chickens. How many can I have? What are the regulations? This gives us the opportunity to direct them directly to something that spells that out for them. So I think I've answered the questions or what I wanted to share. I am responsible for that. It's something that is important to me and my office. And something that I understand other people's opinions on it. You know, whether that's needs to be discussed on various topics of different zones within the city. But again, I don't believe that what we have drafted is much different than what was the general understanding by the large vast majority of the community to begin with. So does anybody have any questions about that?
I think the general census that you think that the general population understood it was, it's always necessarily true because Mr. Falwell would just create these ideas himself, so you could call him and say, what was our policy on this, this, and this, and he may just pull a number out of a hat because there was just nothing in writing, so he just kind of when he went along, and not just that question, but a lot of other questions, because he was the man to go to, and by things not being in writing, he would just come up with a good idea that he thought would please the general public.
Working with Tim for several years, he always did just what the chief did. He always called surrounding communities, and that's how he got that number. But like the chief said, we just never did put it in writing.
You know what would be a good idea is if there was a booklet of city ordinances that people could just
online.
Anytime you want to read it, it's right there.
So I'd just like to. I would just like to.
The library.
Further, I guess in my 20 plus years within the department. I won't disagree, but in my 20 plus years in the department and working with Mr. Falwell, I was continually given the same number that I quite frankly couldn't remember from time to time when it came up. But it was somewhere in that 5 to 6 chickens, only hens for laying purposes. The folks that I talk to or poll, you know, that has kind of been the general understanding that I've gotten from them as well. So I'm not saying that that is everyone. I think that's the vast majority. And so again, you know, we used that along with comparables from the surrounding communities to draft our ordinance. And again, I don't believe that it is much different from what is at least the general understanding prior. In my opinion, it just provides it clearly in black and white for anyone to be able to reference. You can find that online on the Code of Ordinances on cityofclintonillinois.com. You know, and as that's updated, we can just simply reference people to that and spells out the regulations within the city.
I do have a comment. Mr. Lauer's statements are accurate. We have worked together in regards to this. He provided much of the language pulled from Moroa and various other communities. I had some contributions as well. I will note animal ordinances are becoming more prominent in communities, especially in regards to hens. There has been a renewed interest in keeping hens for constituents to produce their own eggs in lieu of going to the store. They last longer. I mean, we can go into detail as to what those are. I grew up on a farm myself and I had chickens myself, so I understand. So that's why these ordinances are becoming more popular in to enable and have some structure around the keeping of said hens. And I understand, I think there were some comments tonight in regards to individuals that live in a separate zoning aspect that might have a more, I would anticipate maybe have a more open area. That could be addressed or it could not be. That's upon the will of the commissioners and the mayor. But like I said, just to give some context, it's your guys' decision, but I will note that these hen-based ordinances and what you can or cannot keep within a municipality are becoming more prevalent.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for me, sir?
No, but we got one more in the audience.
Then, is there any way for, like, say, make exceptions within this, like, say, a permit for exception? Like, say, if somebody wants to raise animals for new purposes, because we all know meat is getting expensive. It's healthier to raise your own food than to eat it that way. Is there any way, we got permits for golf carts, permits for all the
city? You know,
if it's safe for the animals,
make a permit for that. This particular ordinance does not address that. Nor allow that. So the answer under the existing draft and ordinance is no. And I understand that. Also, I want to reiterate that from my perspective in the office of the police department and quite frankly, ordinance enforcement. You know, we will have individuals like Ms. Reddington and him. You know, that obviously have their opinion that would like to be able to do other things. My office is also the direct line of communication for those neighbors that call to complain. And so understand that while we do have individuals, and I understand and respect that they personally would like to do this. In many scenarios, I am hearing from the various neighbors who are calling and complaining on a regular basis about that, about whether it be the noise or the number or whatever. You know, I moved to this neighborhood. I didn't have any idea that I was going to be living next to Ronald McDonald's farm. You know, I mean, understand that I have to speak with those people as well. So anyways, that is where my intent, and again, I am the sponsor of the amendment of this ordinance, and that is why. And that is my reasoning and explanation behind that. So, okay?
Okay.
All right.
It's basically like any ordinance we have. It's a living and breathing instrument that
sure.
can be fine-tuned. It can be changed, like our Absolutely. Golf cart. Deal. We changed hours because it just wasn't conducive to people being out to like what we had on the square Saturday night and things like that. So sure. we looked at that. If we do have things like that, this is just something we can get in black and white, get it in writing, get it taken care of now, and as we need to fine-tune it, we can look at it. We can go to Mr. Hoblet and to you and say, hey, how can we do this a little differently if someone has a legitimate thing to do? We can change that and look at it at future in things it might be able to take care of. So
right. I think a couple points, and again, I'm not an attorney, but quite frankly, and I had a conversation with Commissioner Edmonds, I don't believe that in any zoning district that there's actually a special use or a purpose to raise livestock or chickens. I mean, I don't believe that is addressed as to be authorized to begin with.
Not even authorized.
So therefore, by allowing it in the ordinance, we're actually allowing something that really shouldn't have been allowed before. Am I correct?
You're correct.
So, anyways, so instead of looking at the glass half empty, we can look at the glass half full of we're allowing something that, quite frankly, didn't previously authorize us to do.
True.
So, under a limited and regulated basis.
Roger, Seth.
We don't. chickens and rabbits, what's going to happen to them? I mean, like my neighbor right now, her donkey died, so she doesn't have to worry about that, but, you know, she's...
Folks, you live in...
Are they going to be told they have...
Oh, okay.
Well, Becky Blackwood in the city limits, though. Becky Blackwood, as far as I understand, she was not in city limits.
That's not the city there on Madison?
As far as I know, no, that's not city limits.
Yeah, Seth.
If you read the animal ordinance, and I read it six or seven times, it's on file right now, all it does is consider dogs and cats. So when there's nothing, no wordage, I've read them, a lot of the ordinances off of the internet for the city of Clinton, it doesn't say anything in there about livestock.
Right.
None. So this glass half full, half empty, you know, they used to raise hogs down there over the years, you know. You name it, it's been raised.
I'm not saying it was legal.
Right.
But there's nothing that says that it's not.
Has to be permitted in the zoning ordinance to be done.
And if there's nothing that permits, my question is what about Grandfather Falls?
Mr. Hoblet?
You know, right now, I'm over the limit on chickens.
So...
Nobody even knows
they're there. In regards to zoning, usually when you're making a reference to grandfathering, you're grandfathered in via a zoning aspect. This is a different type of ordinance where there's not really a grandfather type of aspect to it. Now, I presume that after this is passed, if they went into adjustment based upon the various you're in a different zoning, I understand that, as you represented. So if they want to adjust that, that's fine. They would probably also, I would anticipate, have a grace period to where you would be brought into compliance. So I would anticipate that as well.
But it doesn't say anything in that ordinance. So once this ordinance is passed, that's what it goes by.
Correct.
There is no grace period. Where does it say grace period in the ordinance?
That would be up to the discretion of the council, and I would presume when they would direct the respective city police.
So, when talking about ordinances, does everybody have to comply to the ordinance that's in that book right there?
Yes.
That Roger the mayor said that's the ordinance book that he just said on there.
Yeah.
Everybody within the city limits, whatever's in that book, they have to comply by. I'm just asking.
Yes.
So, like green zones that butt up against our green belt, where industrial butts up against residential, states in that book.
I mean, if it's in the book, I would anticipate they would have to comply. Okay. Now, if you're going to ask me a bunch of questions, keep in mind I represent the council and the commissioners, sure. You know, so, and I am about 3 weeks, a month into this job, so I'm not exactly apprised of all the detailed issues, so we can talk, you know, later if you'd like. But.
Sure, but there's about 50 years, if not more, of experience of being on this council sitting up there.
Right.
You know, I'm sure those guys have read that book. I'm just curious.
Right, I understand.
I think this is the way a city council should operate all the time, or open communication.
Thank you, Chief.
In other news, on the report from the Department of Public Safety, kudos to snappers and everyone involved with the concert on the square on Saturday night.
Yep.
Very good turnout. I got to tell you, it's no secret. I love to see a crowd on the square. I love to see our downtown entertainment and family fun. So good job to everybody there.
Yeah. You ought to give kudos to the Our Town Clinton too. That was a very well put out deal, and I thought
this community was well covered through WCIA, and they put the event on at the Homestead last Friday, and they really brought Clinton to light. So yeah, they did a very good job.
Report from the Council of Finance.
I don't have anything tonight.
Okay. We'll move down to unfinished business. We have amending ordinance Title 5, Chapter on the Chapter 1 on the animals.
Motion to adopt ordinance number 1552, an ordinance amending Title 5, Chapter 1 of the Clinton City Code to allow poultry and ban certain types of non-domesticated animals.
Have a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and second. Any other discussion? Call the roll.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
No.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Srulik?
Yes. Next is the ordinance authorizing the purchase of real estate, 111 South Quincy Street and 204 West Main Street, in total $85,000.
I make the motion.
I'll second that.
Whoops.
Motion
to adopt ordinance number 1553 and ordinance number 1554, an ordinance authorizing the purchase of real estate, 111 South Quincy Street and 204 West Main Street, in the amount of $85,000.
I make the motion.
I'll still second it.
Any discussion? Call the roll.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Srulik?
Yes. Move down to new business. We're going to place two articles on file. Purchase of two new squad cars for the price of $95,000. And we're going to place on file the sale of personal property, which is the two vehicles that we're going to sell to trade in. With that, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Call the roll, please.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Srulik?
Yes. Meeting adjourned.